This is Michelle Powers with Angel Messages, the only podcast sharing direct messages from angels. And today I'm meeting with my friend Shaylee Davis. And we're going to be talking about just that you have learned to reconnect to your purpose over and over and over through all of the challenges, all of the things that you've been through in your life. It's just inspiring. So let's start at your childhood, where you were born and raised and what you went through as a child.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, Michelle. I was born in a town called Preston, Idaho. It's in southeast Idaho. And I was the second oldest child. I have an older brother and then two younger sisters, and I have a mom and dad. And from the time I was little, I knew something was different about my dad. I knew he suffered quite a bit in his life from mental illness. And I became very empathetic as a small child, knowing that something was a little bit wrong. Mm-hmm. And when I was 10 years old, my parents got divorced, and it was extremely difficult for me, just being a child and not really understanding. I mean, as an adult, you see things differently than you do as a child. And I don't fault my mom or my dad or have any ill feelings toward either of them for that now, but as a 10-year-old, I didn't really understand. And I became very, very, very angry. Mm-hmm. And very self-destructive, and just developed a lot of self-destructive habits.
What were your teenagers like?
I think I just found ways to cope with it, and one way was riding my bike, a bicycle. I used to ride my bike a lot and be very angry while I was riding my bike. But I coped with it through my friends, through like going out with my friends and being with friends. And I, when I was about 16, I started drinking and drank a lot. Mm-hmm. And we lived for the weekends when we could drink and party, and that's how I dealt with my life.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents, were they aware of your drinking, or was it something that you kind of were able to hide?
I tried to hide it. It wasn't something I was proud of or knew that I should be doing, but it was fun for me, and it was a way to cope. Mm-hmm. So I think my mom knew, and of course, she probably knew more than she wanted to, and you know, it's painful to think about now what I did to my mom. Mm-hmm. But at a very young age, I decided that I didn't deserve much in my life, that I didn't have much value. And it's something I've struggled with for my whole life. And I think it will be a lifelong process. I know we're always learning and growing in different ways. But when you feel that way about yourself, you live out a self-fulfilling prophecy, I feel like. Mm. And you that's how you live your life. You don't expect much from yourself or think that you deserve very much. And that's how I lived at those years. So after I graduated from high school, I still was on this very self-destructive pattern in my life. I remember one time at this place I worked, this lady saw my lifestyle, and she asked me if I was on a path of self-destruction. And I looked at her and said, yeah, pretty much. So it's you live out how you really mm-hmm. feel about yourself.
Yeah. Then moving forward from those teenage years, where I think that you said that you met your husband at a pretty young age. Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I was 20 when I met him, and then we got married when I was just barely 21. And in a way, I felt like he could save me from myself, because I certainly didn't know how to do it. And I felt like someone needed to. And it was a good thing, actually, that I got married and that we got married. And yeah.
And where did you live? Were you still in Idaho? Were you still in Preston?
We lived in Logan, okay. Utah, when we got married. And then he was a huge hunter/fisherman. So he wanted to live in Idaho. So then we moved back to my hometown, actually, of Preston, Idaho.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how long were you guys there? And you had two kids,
well, we,
right?
Pretty so young. We had kids after we moved to
okay.
Preston.
Okay.
So we had our daughter, Caitlin, and then we had a son named Landon. He was born 19 months later, so they're 19 months apart. And 4 days after Landon was born, my husband was killed in a car accident. You know, the night of the accident, it was this, my little boy was born on a Thursday, and then my husband went back to work on a Monday. And on his way home, there was another driver coming the opposite way, and she crossed the center line, and he was killed instantly. And I was at home, and I knew there had been an accident. I heard all of the emergency vehicles going. I heard, and I'm sitting at home thinking, I'm looking at the time and thinking, oh, he's late, you know, where is he? And of course, there were no cell phones in those days. Mm-hmm. So I lived right across the street from a hospital in Preston, and I heard the life flight come, and my little girl, being 19 months old, she liked to watch the helicopter. So we were standing out on my front porch watching the helicopter come and go. And it was actually getting the lady who hit my husband, it was picking her up, because she was, at that time, she was still alive. We're standing out on my porch and we're watching the helicopter come and go. And I'm still wondering where my husband is, because it was, you know, getting late, and we were supposed to go over to my mom's that night for dinner. So I'm thinking, you know, where is he? And then my dad actually came to see my new baby, to see Landon. And he was telling me how he was detoured around this terrible accident on the highway. And he came and went, you know, within like 30 minutes or so. And the last thing he said to me was, let me know what you find out about that accident. A little bit of the backstory here is, in my hometown in Preston, it's a pretty small town.
Yeah.
And there had been 7 major tragedies that summer. And my mom and I had been talking earlier that summer, and I said, well, how do they tell you? And she said, well, the police come and tell you. So it was just a random conversation mm-hmm. that we were having. So anyway, that night of the accident, we load up my kids, and my sister helps me load up the kids, and we drive over to my mom's house. Drive into her driveway, I take my kids into her house, I set my baby down on the ground, and I turn around, and there's 2 police cars that pull into my mom's. And I just got this pit in my stomach, and I knew what had happened. And I walk outside, and the one policeman walked up to me, and he told me, and you're just never really prepared
yeah.
to hear that your husband's passed away. My daughter was 19 months old at the time, and I never had to tell her what happened. She was told in other ways, and she knew what happened. And you know, one interesting thing, the policeman who actually came and told me was also my ecclesiastical leader in my church. And one thing he said, just during that, it wasn't that night, but it was during the whole process, and he said to me one time, he said, you know, Shaylee, someday you'll be grateful for this experience. And at the time, I thought it was, I don't know, I didn't take it very well
yeah.
from him. And looking back, I know exactly what he meant, and I know he was absolutely right. That experience has been and continues to be one of my greatest teachers of my life. The things I've learned from it, and the experiences I had and what I went through, I know I could never learn in any other way.
There really is a plan for us, that there's a plan that's been created for us, and there's just, things are brought into our life at certain times in the way it's meant to, and our life is divinely guided. It's just about us having that faith and being able to see life with those eyes of gratitude and how to continue to have faith and move forward even mm-hmm. through hard experiences. I think that's where I feel like your story, your life story, is so inspiring, because you continued to move forward even after this experience. But I'm sure there was a long period of time of just not really knowing what to do or how to put the pieces together and how to move forward. What was that time like after your husband passed away?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to my amazing mom because she had incredible faith, and she's been one of my greatest supporters and one of my greatest examples of impeccable faith. And she moved forward through her life, and if her faith ever wavered, I never knew it. So I saw by her example, you know, to pull up your bootstraps and move forward and to go on in spite of hard challenges. But a couple of things I know for certain and a couple of things I learned for sure from my experience. The first thing I learned is that God is real and that He knows us. He knows our name. He knows what we are going through. And I learned how much He loves us and His unconditional love for us. And the next thing I learned is that life is a choice. You know, we can't control what happens to us and what cards we are dealt, but we absolutely control how we react to it and our attitude and moving forward and whether we're going to be happy or not. I believe it's just a choice.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that we learn how to, we almost have to float through certain parts of our life and just cope and somehow get through certain parts. But then we keep coming to that realization of we have to take action and actually do something to create the life that we want or to change, you know, our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you had to do that as you know, your mom and your family and all of your community, I'm sure, was rallying around you and helping you and supporting you.
Yeah.
So what was that experience like for you, and how long did it take before, I know that you remarried, so what was that situation like for you?
Well, and you just said the word rally. I lived in the most amazing place, and I know I was put there for all these people to step in and just rally around me. My whole community, my neighbors, I had incredible neighbors. My whole community just rallied around me. And my family, I have an amazing, amazing siblings and my mom, and they're just amazing. My sister was supposed to, she was signed up to go to Utah State that fall, but she took the semester off and she came and lived with me, and she really saved my life. And no, she probably saved my kids' life, because like I said, they were babies.
Yeah.
And we just kind of floated. I just kind of existed. I'm glad that my sister took pictures during that time, because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I have that many memories or, you know, good memories. So she took pictures, and that part of our life is documented. But you know what? During that, I was single. I didn't date anyone for about 2 years, and then I started dating. So total, I was single for about 6.5 years from the time my husband died. And you know what? I look back at our photo albums during that time, and we lived. We lived and we loved life, and I had great friends that I did a lot with, and we camped a lot, and I took my kids places, and we did vacations, and we were happy, and we lived.
It's amazing, because I feel like sometimes you go through those really hard situations, and you almost can't see everything that's going on until you kind of look back on pictures and different things that remind mm-hmm. you, oh, we were getting through it, and this is how we did it. This is how we got through that part of our life. And
yeah,
and those people were there for me when I needed them the most, and without any expectations or anything, they're just there. And I feel like they're usually inspired to do their part, and it's part of their life purpose. They're fulfilling some part of their life purpose and in being there for us and helping people and, you know, the people that they love through some really hard situations. They're learning a lot and we learn a lot from them, so.
Yeah. I feel like that was what got me through was the people I was surrounded by. There were many, many angels in my life, and I've never forgotten them. I'll never forget that time and how they helped me, and what they did for me.
It's amazing because we're surrounded with earth angels. I mean, people say, "Well, you know, I'm not very sensitive. I don't really know if I've had a lot of experiences with angels per se, but I, you know, just by reminding people, we have." People step in as earth angels all the time because that's, if we're doing our part to help someone, love someone, support someone, I mean, an angel is God's messenger. It's a messenger of God. It's someone who's doing something that actually is helping us to extend that love that God has for us. And if we step in and we do that, then we're doing our part. We are being like an angel and helping and supporting people. So then you said you started dating after a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And how long was it till you met your husband that you're married to now?
Well, I met him about 4 years after my husband died. My husband was in a band. He's a musician. So I saw him playing one night at a fair in Preston. Mm-hmm. And I knew a girl who was playing in his band with him, so I asked, I fell in love with him watching him play that night. And afterwards we talked with her and I asked her if he was married and she said yes, so I dropped it and I never, you know, pursued him. But I remember seeing my neighbor the next day and I told her that I had met my dream man, but that he was married. So anyway, 2 years later, we're set up on a blind date. So. We dated off and on for 2 years, and then we got married, and...
Was it an easy transition going into your second marriage?
You know, that is a tricky thing, I think, for anyone who's done it. I think it rarely is smooth and easy, and everybody's happy. Mm. He had 4 amazing kids, and a couple of his kids were married, and... My kids weren't super thrilled, maybe at first, mm-hmm. because they had just been used to having mom all to themselves. And there's not a manual mm-hmm. on how to be a stepmom, how to be a stepdad, how to create this family. Yeah. And I don't know that we did it the best at first. It's certainly been a process. Mm-hmm. Jay had been through stuff. I had been through stuff, and we both kind of brought our stuff together and tried to make the best of it. Yeah. And it's been a journey, but it's been a beautiful one.
So as you're going through this brand new marriage and these families coming together and learning how to balance all of that out, you were still really healing from your husband's passing. So what was that like, and did you feel him with you, or did you feel like you had to kind of, you know, push that out of your mind to be able to make this new, you know, life work with your new husband? What mm-hmm. was that like for you?
One thing interesting about when my husband passed away, it really brought up all of my emotional issues that I had never dealt with in my life, all of my brokenness that I had felt about myself my whole life. I finally started to address it. I started going to a counselor and just learning, you know, working through some of that. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long road. It's been a journey that I'm sure I'll be on for the rest of my life, you know, really learning to love and accept myself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a journey for everyone. And anyone who has that mastered has my my greatest respect, yeah. because I think that would be amazing. But
yeah.
I know that right after he passed away, he was with me. And he was with me all the time, and I could feel that and sense that. And then I remember the day I was sitting on the couch, and he basically told me, I have other stuff I have to do now. Like, you're going to be okay, and I have to go, is what mm-hmm. I remember him. I distinctly knew that he was telling me that, and I had that impression. And I felt like I did pretty well with his death. I kind of felt like I healed in a good way in Preston, because like I said, there had been about 7 tragedies that year, and they were all very young people. A lady came and did a support group, and all of us that had these relatives, these family members involved in those tragedies came to it, and it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever been a part of. And that was really the beginning of a lot of healing. And like I said, it was just beautiful. The people that were there, I think we all just benefited immensely from that group. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I dealt pretty well with his death. And it had been 6.5 years by the time Jay and I got married. Mm. Again, it had been, you know, that much time in between him dying. So I felt like I was at peace with a lot of it. And, you know, I remember right after my husband passed away, it was fall, it was in September, and I was sitting outside just a couple weeks after, and I was just soaking in the sun. And I sat there and thought to myself, you know, if I could do anything, I would spare the world of pain. I would spare everybody of anything painful they have to go through. Mm-hmm. Because I just felt so much pain. Mm-hmm. But you know, after going through that situation and seeing what I learned from it, I thought, pain can be our greatest teacher. Yeah. And I don't feel that way anymore. I don't like mm-hmm. to see people in pain, and I don't mm-hmm. want people to suffer. Mm-hmm. But it's how we learn and grow. And I know that we can learn and grow through joy also. It doesn't mm-hmm. always have to be a struggle and trials. Yes. But if something painful happens to you, there are good things that can come out of it. Mm-hmm.
So true. So can I share what impression came through when you were saying that you had that experience where you felt like your husband came and told you, you know, that it was his time to go. Mm-hmm. And the impression that, and the image I could see was that he was very, very, very involved in your life, energetically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, everything. He was putting everything he had into really supporting you up to that point mm-hmm. and very intertwined in your daily experiences and what you were dealing with. But the one thing that I really try to teach people is that I learned a long time ago that there is no time and there's no space like we know it here. We know when someone leaves and gets in their car and drives somewhere that they're gone, you know, we're not able to be with them in that, you know, until the next time we see them. But in the spirit world, they're energetically, their spirit is always aware of us. Mm-hmm. It's not like they are too far away or they have to go somewhere and they have something more important to do than to be a part of our life. Because he shows me that after that, he's been in this space of being aware and seeing everything that you've been going through and still being a part of it, but not so intertwined in that mm-hmm. daily stuff, because he had to kind of pull back a little bit for you to have those new experiences mm-hmm. and to create this new family. And maybe it would have been too hard if you could feel him constantly there, you know, intertwined in the mm-hmm. daily experiences for you to know it was time for you to move forward and to remarry.
Wow. So he probably did that more for my benefit. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I just think that shows a lot of love and respect to you that he was able to give that gift to you mm-hmm. of allowing you to move forward. That's how much love he has for you, is just to allow you to have these new experiences and to continue to grow. And he's still a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's just different
wow.
than it was.
Wow. you know, looking back after he did pass away and all that happened, I looked back at the events, especially of that summer and of just the few months before he passed away. And I could see how it was all lined up. I could our conversations we had, the things that happened. I know it was his time to go, and I knew that.
Like complete confirmation. I've had so many mm-hmm. people tell me that they just had this conversation that really prepared them, or something happened, you know, mm-hmm. in their life where someone said something or some big thing occurred in their life where that was just something that prepared them to be able to transition through that time, you know, and prepare for that, for a passing or for a hard, you know, life experience. So I think we're always prepared, but we can't see it when we're going through it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's when we look back on that and realize what prepared us and what helped us to get through that, or prepare us for that hard, you know, situation.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was five or six major things that, looking back, I thought this was preparing me mm-hmm. for him to go.
So what was it like for you after we met?
Well, I got into energy work and doing Reiki about 4.5 years ago. And so I started learning about different spiritual gifts people have, and I realized that there were some I had that I wasn't aware of, mm-hmm. but I started learning about angels and the presence they have in our life, and I started having some experiences with them. So when I met you, it was both. I learned new things from you, and you were also a second witness to a lot of things I already knew. Mm-hmm. But it feels great to have that witness, because, I mean, you don't talk to everybody about this. We don't mm-hmm. talk to people about angels a lot, and I don't think we talk about it enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's mentioned enough, and I don't think people are aware enough of them in our life. Mm-hmm. So it was great to hear you and hear your witness of things I already knew. Yeah. And that I could learn new things from you.
I love it. I love that. So what are some things that you felt like you could apply to your life? Like, what were some of the new things that you, I don't know, that just kind of struck a chord in you?
Well, I think awareness is probably the biggest thing. Being aware that we all have guardian angels with us all the time. And you told me that. You said there are at least two. I think you said you've never seen less than two with mm-hmm. someone.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's so empowering, knowing that you have angels guiding and the assistance helping you in your life. A lot of people feel alone, and they need to be aware. They need to know that angels are with us. I remember a really, it's not probably really profound to anyone else, but it was one of the most profound times I had with angels. One of my kids was going through a really hard time, and we'd been up all night the night before, just in this bad situation. Mm-hmm. And I woke up the next morning just with a pit in my stomach, just dread. I just dreaded even getting out of bed, because I had to face what we were going through. And as I got out of bed and I stepped on my floor, I felt so many angels around me. And they were literally walking with me out of my room. And they're always with us, whether we know it or not, but people need to know it. Mm-hmm. And they need to be aware of it. And the blessing, I feel like it's a blessing from Heavenly Father to us.
It really is. And it is about us recognizing it, like you said, just taking a minute to just sit and feel it and recognize it. We're so busy. We're going all day, every day, but we sometimes don't stop and just feel it and just mm-hmm. recognize that feeling of just being loved and supported, and that there are so many with us and helping us every day. But if we're not taking a minute to just acknowledge it, it just...
Right.
It goes by and we miss that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And it's about, you just said it exactly right, it's about being quiet. Mm-hmm. taking the time to unwind and disconnect and really tune in to who we are. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about this is it's not just for people like you that have such an amazing, beautiful gift. It's for everyone. Yeah. It's for all of us.
Yep, exactly. I know so many people think, well, that's just, you know, you just have those experiences and you're just one of those lucky ones. I'm like, well, actually, I'm being inspired to speak up because this is everyone's life. This is just, all of us are surrounded with love and support constantly, daily, and we're all experiencing it differently, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's about us just recognizing it and allowing it to bless our lives and having faith, you know, believing in what we can't see. Just because I can see doesn't mean I don't have to have faith.
Right.
I still have all the challenges that other people have, you know? They're just different. Mm-hmm. So, but I think, yeah, it is, I mean, the fact that we are surrounded with so many angels and loved ones is it's such a blessing, but also they're trying to help us to remember who we are, like you just said. That's why they're with us, is to inspire us, to remind us of who we are, how strong we are, how capable we are, how we're just filled with these amazing gifts. We just need to take them out and use them to bless the people around us. And right now is a huge, important time for us to recognize what our spiritual gifts are, start using them and sharing them with people. And gifts are meant to be shared. They're not meant to just hold on to or tuck them away and hide them. They're meant to be shared with the world and shared with the people around us. And now we have ways to get our message out to millions of people. And I think that's not a coincidence, you know?
Right. So why do you think that people discount or don't think they can have angelic help or divine assistance?
I think that people, deep down, they know that they do, but it's that self-doubt or even that feeling of not being worthy of having that help, or not feeling like they have that ability to even connect because they think that they're less than. Mm. And it is, I think, about us not believing in ourselves and not feeling like we deserve, like you talked about that earlier, deserving goodness in your life. A lot of people have felt like they haven't done enough in their life, they haven't measured up to where they should be, so they don't deserve that love or that help and that support. Mm-hmm. So I think deep down they know that they have it, but maybe they feel like they don't deserve it. That's been my experience sitting down and talking with people and kind of getting to the root of some of the issues that people struggle with. Mm. So, and I wanted to ask you where you're at right now, moving forward in your life. What are you working on? Where do you feel like you're at? You talked about doing energy work and just the different things that you've learned over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel? Well, I feel like I've learned so much in my life that sometimes I feel I don't deserve to learn anymore, but I have so much left that I need to learn. I do a technique called Reiki, which is a beautiful energy technique. You do it yourself, yeah, so you're aware of that. But what I'd really like, what I'm really working on for myself is seeing the brilliance in myself and seeing who I really am, and that's what I want. That's my wish for everybody. Mm. When they come in for a Reiki session or just whoever they are, you know, to you know, we're all looking elsewhere for a brilliant relationship, for a brilliant career, for a brilliant whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the answers really do lie within us.
So true.
Our spirit knows what we need and how to get it. And, you know, just realizing that about yourself. And for me, it will be a lifelong journey. I'm really loving and accepting myself. So I'm not here saying, gosh, I've got it all figured out, because I certainly don't. But I've learned a lot, and I've learned to never give up. Never give up on yourself, and never give up on anyone else, because life is a gift. It's beautiful, and it's worth it. Whatever you have to go through.
So true. I love earlier what you said about one of the most amazing things that you learned was that you had to choose to live, mm-hmm. make that choice. I think that's so inspiring that you that you learned that lesson, and that takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith to step forward no matter what challenges you're going through or what you've been through, that you make that choice to move forward and choose joy and choose to continue learning like you've been learning and growing. And but like you said, I think no matter what, you come back to that same realization that the answers are within you, because our spirit is so wise. We weren't sent here with no information whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's just that we need to actually take the time to tap into that information. And choosing to live is just an incredible thing that you did. I love that.
Well, I had great examples and great people to look to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your inspiring story that I know is going to help so many people out there to just be able to choose to live and choose joy. So thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.